Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing with you today from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, beginning with the very first passage. The Acts of the Apostles, with what is listed as being chapter 1, or the first chapter. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in that proper tongue Aceldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So returning to the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. Until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, I began it there rather than the preface, but the preface flows right into it, which is, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. I hate this little preamble, preface, but not as much as I do the one for the gospel according to Luke, according to St. Luke, according to the disciple Luke. Here we have the Acts of the Apostles showing forth that it is penned by the same scribe as he who penned the gospel according to Luke. The preface referring again to Theophilus, and really displaying a respect of persons, which is contrary to God, which is contrary to the Word of God. But this former treatise have I made, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. To do and teach. You know, you hear various little phrases, expressions. You hear them in the church. You hear them in the world. And the world copies from the church, and the church copies from the world. This matter of walking the walk and talking the talk and what have you, and making it two separate things. There's the Word of God, and then there are the acts of God. However, throughout the Bible, we find time and again that speaking, preaching, teaching, prophesying the Word of God, that is action. That is not a passive activity. But here, this is an account per the preface of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Now, it certainly does not go into all the detail of all manner of teaching and works that Jesus did that is recorded in the Gospels. But nonetheless, it is stated that this collection, the Acts of the Apostles, is of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And again, teaching is doing. Until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. This referring again, he's referring directly back to his gospel, the former treatise, the former collection, his gospel. The gospel, according to Luke, was of all that Jesus began to do and teach. Reasonable way to put it. The same as was true for the gospels according to the apostle Matthew, the disciple Mark, and the apostle, the beloved disciple John. But unlike all of those Gospels, here Luke continues. He has a sequel. It is the Acts of the Apostles. And it ties in directly with the former. So now it brings us up to the jumping off point from when there was that day in which Jesus was taken up. Not when he was resurrected, but when he ascended into heaven. The day in which he was taken up. Islam, which is a creation of Satan's, which is directly pitted against Jewry and Christianity, which is intended, was created, was crafted for the purpose of bringing about the destruction of Christianity and Jewry. It claims, fraudulently, but it claims that its sole prophet, Muhammad, that he ascended. He did not. He descended to hell. And he shall be relocated to the lake of fire and brimstone, along with those who serve him in his unholy war against God, against Christ Jesus, and against the Word of God. And the people of God. But here the Acts of the Apostles really begins immediately following the day in which Jesus was taken up. And on that day he commanded through the Holy Ghost that the apostles whom he had chosen, Jesus did not select them separate from God the Father, divorced from God the Father. This is something that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost were all jointly involved with and all in agreement on. It wasn't an accident or a mistake to select Judas Iscariot. God Almighty foretold in the Old Testament about the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ by Judas Iscariot. It was no accident. It was no mistake. It was no blunder on God's part. And Jesus and God the Father and God the Holy Ghost, they chose the 12 apostles, knowing that Judas Iscariot would betray Jesus, that Judas Iscariot would fall, and that he would need to be replaced. So they chose those 12 apostles, and they also chose a replacement apostle, a 13th apostle, if you will, to take that place and become the new 12th apostle. And Jesus showed himself alive after his passion, after his crucifixion, his death, his burial, his entombment, after his resurrection from the tomb. He showed himself alive by many infallible, unfailing proofs, being seen of them, of the apostles. But he was seen by many more than the 11. He was seen by many disciples. He was seen by the women who were disciples. He was seen by his mother, Mary. But, and presumably by his brethren, brethren referring to the sons that Joseph begat and Mary conceived and carried and bore. But Jesus was seen by these for 40 days, over a span of 40 days. And he spake of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard. Why did Jesus need to command them? Why? Why not just request? Why not just ask? These are his hand-picked, holier-than-thou men, right? Hand-picked by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Why does he have to command them to do this? It's curious. You'd think just a simple request would be sufficient. But Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait together for the promise of the Father, which they had heard of, which they had heard of from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this was not an onerous commandment. No. This is a matter of a very brief wait. They have witnessed for 40 days since the resurrection of Christ, Jesus showing forth his glory by many infallible proofs. Now they are commanded to wait. And how long do they wait? 10 days. What's that? A week and a half. That is not exactly a difficult commandment to fulfill, is it? But John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Indeed, 10 days. Not 1,000 days, not 10,000 days. 10 short days. That's all that they had to wait. They didn't know that it would be 10 days, but when they therefore were come together, they asked of Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Restore again the kingdom to Israel. What was so glorious about the Jewish kingdom? As you read through the Bible throughout the Old Testament, try to find some period of time where there really were glorious times within that span of time. Try. It's very hard. What you find is a running account of all manner of sin and corruption and wickedness and rebellion against God. And God biding his time, God patiently suffering it and punctuating this span of time with various judgments upon his chosen people in the Holy Land. Judgments being overthrown by vicious, heathen, pagan peoples. Overthrown for cause, overthrown for sin, for rebellion, for rampant rebellion, for worshiping false gods, the gods of the heathens who were displaced by God to make room for these chosen people. But the apostles ask, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Restore again the kingdom to Israel. What, to have a repeat of what has gone on before? What a strange request and desire. But it would be one thing for them to say something along the lines of, Lord, wilt thou now establish thy holy kingdom here in this land, in this place. But it's quite another to say, restore again. Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Let's have more of the same. Overthrow the Romans, replace it with corrupt, wicked, profane, sinful, rebellious, the Jewish kingdom. That would just be such an improvement, such an upgrade. But Jesus said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And yet, down through the ages, these past two millennia, time and again, Christian leaders have insisted on trying to, claiming to, professing to predict, forecast the return of the Lord. Time and time and time again, and so many gullible sheep follow the lead of these various hireling ministers and or wolves in sheep's clothing. Time and again, the blind following the blind. But it's not just a matter of the blind following the blind, it's the blind following those who in so many cases seek to blind them. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which God the Father put in his own power. Elsewhere, the Lord Jesus Christ stated that no man knows, not even the Son of Man, not even God the Son. Now that's hard to imagine, but that the Lord Jesus wouldn't know. But when he said that, the way he expressed that could have been confining that statement to the Lord Jesus Christ on earth during this period, as compared to once he is returned to heaven. But he said, no man knows, not even the Son of Man, but ye shall receive power. It's not for you to know the times. It's not for you to know when the Lord shall return. It's not for you to know what is the date. Oh, brother, we know we can't know the day, or at least not the hour, but we can certainly know everything else. Some insist that they can even know the day, but others, we can know the week, the month, the season, the year. We are in the last times. Now, that is not so because I say it. I say it because it is so. But ye shall receive power. Interesting, because the Lord had anointed them. If you will recall, the Lord endued them, anointed his apostles to go forth, heal the sick, cast out devils, preach the gospel. And those whom he endued with power included Judas Iscariot. He followed that up by anointing, enduing, empowering 70 other disciples to do the same. We also have it in the Gospels that Jesus breathed on them after that, breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, or receive ye the Holy Spirit. But this is different. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So even though he had endued them, that enduement was for a season, a very, very, very brief, finite season. And then he breathed on them for them to receive the Holy Ghost, to receive the Holy Spirit. We only have that mentioned once, but nonetheless, once should be enough for us to believe that that actually took place, as stated in the Gospels. And yet here, he says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When Jesus breathed on them that they received the Holy Ghost, what was the effect of that? What was the noticeable effect of that? I mean, did that cause them to become maturer in Christ than they already were? Seemingly not. Seemingly not. to go by what transpired following that. But here he says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Ye shall be witnesses unto me throughout the Holy Land and throughout the world. Witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, unto Christ, unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the only name given under heaven by which we may be saved. Ye shall be faithful witnesses unto me. Unlike a certain U.S. born cult, which claims to be witnesses of God, but which are all false witnesses of God and witness against God the Son, Jesus Christ. And interestingly enough, they focused a considerable amount on the last times, the end times, but errantly, falsely, fraudulently. And they produce an enormous amount of literature that they spread around the globe. But the apostles were to be faithful witnesses to the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he stated that they would be after they were empowered by the Holy Ghost of God. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Jesus here had just been taken up into heaven in full view, full sight of all of these witnesses. And they are told by two angels, two angelic messengers of God, that even as he has gone into heaven, the Lord Jesus shall return in like manner. Interestingly enough, of course, many high and mighty theologians, high and mighty church leaders, have taught contrary to that, have preached contrary, diametrically contrary to the Word of God regarding the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've mentioned before, I don't know what's become of him, whether he's still on this earth or whether he is or above the earth or whether he is in the earth. But one who was the number two leader of the Anglican Church some years ago infamously referred repeatedly to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ being nothing more than a conjuring up of bones. He belittled, demeaned the Lord Jesus Christ, committed sacrilege, the most grievous heresy. But for what end? For what purpose? To make a name for himself, yes, but also to lead a great multitude of people away from eternal salvation and unto eternal damnation. Suffice to say, that shall be his reward. Whether he is still spewing such lies or whether he has gone to meet his reward. But even as the Lord Jesus Christ was taken up into heaven, he shall so come in like manner. Then returned the apostles unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. Now it says from the mount called Olivet, from the Mount of Olives. The location of where the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, it, interestingly enough, is not consistent. It is described different ways. But some would believe or view that it was actually even in Galilee, which it was not. It was in Judea, and it was outside of Bethany. So a Sabbath day's journey from Jerusalem, and here described as being at the Mount of Olives, the Mount Olivet. When the apostles were come in into where they were abiding, an upper room, Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. In Tyndale's, this Judas is described as being the son of James. The brother of James, the son of James, one or the other, not both. But they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Roman Catholicism, its doctrines, its dogmas, its man-made, lying doctrines would have the 1 billion plus Catholics on the face of this earth believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only baby that Mary bore and that her marriage to Joseph was never consummated. But here we have one of many attestations to the fact of these children of Mary. She had four sons after Jesus and numerous daughters. These are the brethren referred to. But imagine one upper room, and it is containing Peter and Andrew and James and John and the rest of the apostles, the 11 apostles, and the women, followers of Jesus. Those who ministered unto him, who came from Galilee, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. I mean, how large was this upper room? In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. How many were there at that time when he stood up and he spoke to them? About 120 people. Now, it doesn't say that they went outside, you know, that this was an outdoors gathering on a hillside or something else. No. He stood up in the midst of the disciples, approximately 120 people. And he said, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." This from the Psalms. "He was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out." And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Aceldama. That is to say, the field of blood, or the blood field. In Tyndale's. "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate." Or as in Tyndale's, void. "Let his habitation be void, be desolate. Let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take." His bishopric. This is the first referral to such a thing as bishops, a bishopric. His bishopric, his apostleship, let another take. He needs to be replaced so that there will be 12 apostles. Now, why is it that God didn't just wait? After all, he could have promoted Paul, who was Saul, whom we read about his terrible persecution of the church, causing many men and women to be taken captive and to be murdered, put to death, martyred. The term martyred is really not used, but put to death for their faith in Christ. But no, God did not wait for the conversion of Saul. The battlefield conversion of Saul while he went to Damascus to cause a great many more Christians to be destroyed. No. Instead, he brought this about. "Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John the Baptist, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, until his ascension into heaven, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." A witness with us of his resurrection. It doesn't say a witness with us of his ascension, even though that too should be the case. But of these men which have companied with us, which have been with us, who have been, arm in arm with us, so to speak, must one be selected from the disciples? It doesn't tell us, it doesn't state that these two who are selected as candidates, it doesn't tell us that they were among the 70 that were sent out. But how could they not be? The 70 disciples that were not apostles, that were anointed by the Lord, were endued by God to work these works, to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to preach the gospel. How can it possibly be that these two were not among those 70? To me, it's unimaginable. Because again, they're talking about these men which have accompanied with us. You could call them the nearest and dearest outside of the apostles. They're not the innermost of inner circles. That is Peter, James, and John, all of the apostles. Then there are all the rest of the apostles, the other nine from which Judas Iscariot has fallen. So this is an outer circle, an outer perimeter. But they still require that they have been on board from the beginning. Now, whether they were on board from the very beginning, that's debatable. Because when it says beginning from the baptism of John the Baptist, that's a little bit confusing. Because the accounts that we have concerning the 12 apostles, Jesus tapping them to be apostles, the accounts that we have, they differ. And this statement from the baptism of John just doesn't ring right. Why do I say that? Well, from the baptism of John the Baptist, what does he mean by that? Does he mean from the time that the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist? Or from the time that they were baptized by John the Baptist? Surely this is focusing on from the time that the Lord was baptized. Beginning with the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Jesus did not do that until his baptism by John the Baptist. Furthermore, he was not identified as the Lamb of God until he was baptized by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist identified him to disciples of his. And the account that we have is that Andrew and another disciple of John the Baptist followed Jesus. So we are told by the Apostle John. So we are told throughout God's holy word. But they followed Jesus. And then something interesting took place. And it says here, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. he first findeth his own brother Simon. Simon wasn't with Jesus from the baptism of John the Baptist. He came on board after his brother Andrew sought him out. And we're never told who the other disciple is. So, John the Baptist, the day after he baptized Jesus, he stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked by, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And of those two, one was Andrew, who went and sought out his brother, Simon Peter. But we have different accounts. They vary in the Gospels concerning the bringing together of the apostles. So when Matthias and Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, when they were on board, I don't know. Because normally, as you go through the Gospels, there are two different things that you will find. One is Jesus is with the apostles, whom he is mentoring, tutoring, teaching. And then there is the larger group of disciples that fluctuates and which will follow him into the wilderness and what have you. But there is that larger group, and it ebbs and flows, and there is the smaller group, more of an inner circle, of the apostles and the women who followed Jesus. But the apostles chose these two. They appointed them. And they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." So they chose these two. They selected these two. They decided upon these two disciples. It doesn't tell us how they went about that. You know, as far as electing them, having a voting process, whatever it was. But then, when it comes to selecting from them the one that shall become an apostle, they pray to God. So it doesn't tell us that they prayed before selecting these two. One would think that they did, but in any case, they prayed before selecting the one. They prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." Wouldn't it be interesting if God didn't choose either one? If he said, "No, you know, here you apostles, you are pulling a Joshua here. Okay, you selected these two without praying to me. And you have not selected one that I'm satisfied with." You know, thinking back again on Joshua, back in the book of Joshua. Joshua, who did not seek the Lord, did not pray before accepting the lies of the Jebusites and covenanting with them not to destroy them. And Joshua was a Holy Spirit-filled man, a great leader of God. chosen to lead the children of Israel across into the Holy Land, across the River Jordan, to take the people of God where Moses couldn't take them. And yet he immediately commits this unimaginable, egregious trespass. But what if? What if God had said, no, I reject both of these. Go back and try again. But that's not what happened. Instead, following their prayer that God would select one of the two, to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, God did select one. Unlike back to Abraham, where Abraham pled with God to choose his son by the Egyptian woman, Hagar, but to choose the son to be his heir, not to hold out for a son by Sarah, a son of promise, but instead to choose this other of the Egyptian handmaid. And God would, of course, have no part in that. He did not choose Ishmael. No. He insisted instead on a rightful heir of promise, of faith. But here, he does select one of these two. Why did they use lots? Why did they cast lots? It's just something that was done. And it's not that there's something so holy and sacred about casting of lots. But God used it and selected his choice, Matthias. Matthias was numbered with the 11 apostles. He became the 12th apostle. It's interesting because we hear so little about Matthias after this. So little meaning nothing. But then we hear so little from any of the apostles to speak of. Yes, we hear of James being executed, put to death, martyred. James, who was acting really as head or co-head of the church at that time. We read of Peter and the attempted execution of Peter. We read of John, of course. And of James the Less. But we really hear very little about the apostles after this. After the selection of Matthias, then we move into the next portion of Scripture pertaining to the actual baptism with the Holy Ghost. But strangely enough, we hear very little of the apostles throughout the rest of the Word of God, other than there are those epistles of those who penned them. It is curious. But Matthew is numbered with the apostles. They are no longer 11. They now are reconstituted 12 apostles. I would continue with the next passage, but That will be a separate message. Heavenly Father, Holy God, Lord and King, may you be pleased to make us acceptable in thy sight. People whom thou can use. Ideally, that you may use the most fruitfully and bring forth 100-fold good fruit. Those most acceptable with you, such as Matthias and the 11 whom he joined. But if not that, then like Joseph, Barsabbas, Justus, and others of the disciples and the women who were disciples but were referred to as the women, those who faithfully honored and served the Lord Jesus Christ, who worship you, Lord God, in spirit and truth, lead us, guide us, direct us into all truth. Open the eyes of our understanding. Minister your truth to us and through us by thy Spirit for thy glory. Have thy way, Lord God. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord in spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, and account us worthy to stand together before thee at thy coming, and together to serve thee faithfully, truly, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.